their goal was to write the history of the war from the Jewish perspective. And there was no time to lose.
The worst scenario was in the process of happening.
Writing becomes the only recourse. That was the ultimate act of defiance.
You don't really need guns to fight. You could fight with paper and pen.
This is what made this collection of documents so absolutely unique.
One thing is clear to all of us. Our devotion and constant terror have not been in vain.
Among those taken away was Rabbi Uberman.
Geli Sexton.
Israel Lichtenstein.
Leib Golden.
Abraham Levin.
Halina.
Emanuel Ringelblum.
Remember, my name is Nahum Gazevich.
I am writing this as a witness.
This film has been a labor of love.
Yes, films are a labor of love.
You've been very, how long have you been working on this film?
I've been working on this film for at least 7 years, and I've been so busy working on this film that I don't even know when I started working on the film, and I've been meaning to look it up, but haven't had the chance.
Okay, so tell me how you fell in love with this story to bring it to the screen the way you have.
I was working on another film, about the Holocaust, Polish Jewish story, and I read a review of Sam Cassa's book, Cool Writer History. I went and got it. I started reading, and I was 10 pages in, and I was completely outraged. Why? Because I spent my whole life reading and learning about the Holocaust, considered myself to be somewhat knowledgeable, and I'd never heard of Emanuel Ringelblum or the Onyx Shabbos Archive. So I wanted to make a film that would bring the story, which seems to me the most important, underknown story from the era, to millions of people around the world.
And Nancy, how did you become involved with this journey?
Roberta and I were working on a film before this called Above and Beyond, and she had actually started to develop Who'll Write Her History when she left it to direct Above and Beyond. And I was listening to her calling people in Poland, and she started talking to me about the project. And I grew up with very little knowledge of the Holocaust, actually, so I was intrigued mostly by the way she had sort of positioned it. Everybody knows the Diary of Anne Frank, but this is like a story that involves hundreds of diaries of Anne Frank and what an impact that would make, and how these people buried all of these documents in the world. And that got me intrigued. But then we just really love working together, and so I sort of started to tag along a little bit with her.
True. Not the tagging part, but the love one.
People are talking about the magnificent piece of work able to weave together historical footage and recreations. Could you tell us a little bit about that process?
The decision to make the film a hybrid between a documentary and a dramatic feature was made somewhat reluctantly, because this is a film about an archive and it's all about the truth and about veracity, documents. So there was a hesitation to do something that might be considered artificial in creating dramatic scenes. But the problem is that everything is flipped on its head with this story, because the archival footage that we have, which is normally considered to be authentic, was actually shot by Nazi propaganda units in the ghetto. So that is through a lens that was intended to show the Jewish people in the worst possible light, and why the Nazis, by extension, were noble for trying to eliminate them. Whereas the archive is this incredibly authentic eyewitness accounts that we have no visuals for. So I wanted people to be able to draw close to the writing and to draw close to the people who wrote these incredible documents, diaries, essays, poems. And so I decided that to go inside the homes of these people, because this is not a story about how people died. This is a story about how people lived in the Warsaw Ghetto for 3 years. And how they created this archive. So I wanted a film that would have the historical gravitas of a documentary, which we ensured by working with the best scholars in the world, and to have the dramatic, the emotional pull of a dramatic feature. And people seem to be responding in both ways.
Could you tell us a little bit about how you feel the Onyx Shabbos, the people who contributed to the archive, were resisting, that this was their form of resistance?
Well, I think that resistance for a long time was only seen as resistance with guns or Molotov cocktails. I know if I were in the Warsaw Ghetto or anywhere else, I probably would have lied down and never gotten up after about 24 hours in the ghetto. So I think that anyone who just continued and tried to remain human and remain themselves for as long as possible was engaged in resistance, because the entire effort of the Nazis was to dehumanize, degrade, and kill. So I think a woman who risked her life crossing to the Aryan side to get some food for her children was resisting. Members of the Oneg Shabbos were great towering figures, heroic figures of resistance, because in the very depth of hell, they, Ringelblum, created a very sophisticated research institute whose goal was to manufacture the truth and to speak to future generations. So this was a tremendous form of resistance because, as Sam Kassow says, the Nazis not only wanted to kill the Jews, they wanted to kill their culture and their memory as well. Ringelblum was prescient enough to realize this and set out to create this amazing, complex, layered archive to tell the truth.